So this morning would encourage you to follow along Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Pay attention, this is God's word for us. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray for God's help as we come to our sermon this morning. Father, this morning we do indeed pray for your help, God. As the sower goes out to sow, Father, we pray that in your grace, the seed which is sown would bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Father, whether this is our first sermon or our 1,000th sermon, you have something for us, and we pray that the word would be effectual to salvation this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Perfection is rare. In the Major League of Baseball, there have been 27 perfect games thrown by a pitcher. A perfect game is when the pitcher gets all 27 outs without allowing a hit or an error. Now, 27 out of how many? Well, some estimate that there have been 240,000 games, or sometimes they say it's as many as 400,000. So to do the math, that's one game every 9,000, or maybe even as many as 15,000. Perfection is rare. In the NBA, there have only been maybe 6 or 7 players who have had a perfect half, that is, making all of the baskets that they have attempted. And this is just a half, not even a full game. I don't think any NBA player has had a perfect game over, like, you know, one shot or something like that. So only maybe 6 or 7 out of how many chances for a perfect half? 138,000 chances. To continue on this theme, I have some gemologist friends. Just kidding, I don't. I looked it up on the internet. Some gemologists, out of the billions of carats of diamonds that have been excavated from the depths of the earth, some gemologists say that there is not one perfect diamond in the entire earth. When you look at it, 10 times magnification for things like clarity and color and things like that, some say not a perfect diamond. Perfection is rare. Perfection sometimes has not been seen. After the fall, no person not named Jesus has been perfectly righteous. Paul says in another letter, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Paul says, Romans 6:23, all, or rather, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, right? So again, no human being not named Jesus Christ is perfect. Now, you might be saying, well, God doesn't expect perfect. God actually does expect perfect. Why? Because God is a perfectly holy God. God is perfectly righteous, and he is perfectly just. And so this holy and perfect God demands perfect obedience and perfect righteousness from all of his creatures. Again, how could a perfect being demand otherwise? So again, the problem for you and for me is, how can we, who are not perfect, who are sinners, how can we get right with this holy and perfect God? A God who will by no means clear the guilty and who cannot bear to look at evil, as Habakkuk tells us. Well, that's why Paul writes Philippians chapter 3 and why God sent Christ, right? In our sermon text, Paul talks about the gospel grace of justification. Now, I don't think he uses the word, but he uses the word righteousness, right? And the gospel grace of justification is that means by which God reconciles himself with sinners. A perfect God reconciles himself with imperfect sinners. And we're going to learn this morning that this all comes through Christ. This all comes through Christ. So for our sermon this morning, I want us to simply dwell on that gospel grace of justification. And again, want us to look and see that because God is perfect in holiness and perfect in justice, we have to trust in Christ if we want to be justified. We have to trust in Christ if we want to be reconciled with our Creator. So our sermon and our sermon text is all about getting right with God. How do I get right with God? How do you get right with God? Now, we're going to have 2 points for our sermon. And for our first point, I want us to combat a false idea. Point one is all about how you don't get right with God. And we're going to be looking at what Paul says. So point one is going to be the falsehood. Rather, we're combating that false idea. And then point two is going to give us the truth. So first, Paul tells us that we cannot be saved by anything that we do. We cannot be saved by anything that we do. Paul is going to teach us that no amount of human effort can undo sin. Even the best human efforts cannot erase sin. Even the best human efforts cannot make us righteous. I want us to see two things in these verses. First, look down at verses 3 through 6. Three times, Paul is going to repeat a phrase. It's maybe a weird phrase to our ears, because we don't use the word flesh all that often, or at least I don't. Maybe you people do. But look at verses 3 through 6. He's gonna talk about three. Hear this repetition of the word flesh, confidence in the flesh. So what Paul says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Now, confidence in the flesh. What is Paul talking about? Well, flesh in Paul is basically a technical term for human effort, human qualification, something that comes merely from a human being. That is not spiritual. It only comes from human effort, human qualifications. So flesh is who I am, what I do. And what Paul is saying is that if anyone could be righteous based on who they are and what they do, it's me, Paul. Look at the qualifications that he lists. He talks about his Jewishness. So he had the right parents. His parents were also good Jews, and they had him circumcised on the day you're supposed to circumcise your kids, the eighth day. So he is a member of the people of Israel. So he has the right background. But so did a lot of Old Covenant Jews. A lot of Old Covenant Jews had the right background, but what did they do? Well, they went off the walls, they worshiped the Baals, they sacrificed the children to Molech. So Paul has the right background, but he also did the right things. So look at what he says. He says, I was hardworking. I am a law-keeping descendant of Abraham. Look at all of his human effort. Look at all of his obedience. Look down at verse 5. Verse 5. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Right, so Paul is following God's law, the strictest way that you can. He was a Pharisee. You can say a lot of things about Pharisees, but what you can't say is that they didn't care about obedience. Now, they got some things wrong. They got some major things wrong, but they really, really cared about obedience. Paul cared about obedience. And not only did he didn't do it just to check boxes. Paul says that he was actually zealous. Look at verse 6. As to zeal. Now, the second part is bad, a persecutor of the church, and he later came to realize that, but he was zealous. He was a moral, good person. And look at how he sums it all up, and this is amazing. We actually talked about this as one of our aims as Christians. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Blameless. So again, Paul is saying that if anyone, right, if anyone can make themselves right with God, it would have been him. Right? You can sort of imagine the Pharisees as Paul carries around his religious resume, his curriculum vitae, his CV, as he carries this thing around and he shows it to people. You can imagine the other Pharisees saying, you know what, I've got some work to do. I need to do some more penance. I need to fast more, but Paul, whew, no way, that dude is righteous. If anyone can earn his righteousness, it's Paul. That man is saved. Why? Because of all of his human effort. But what does Paul say, actually? He says three times, I put no confidence in the flesh. I put no confidence in my human effort. I put no confidence in who I am or in what I do. All of my human righteousness, all of my human qualifications, they cannot save me. They cannot make me right with God. So again, Paul is saying, right, he's combating a false idea. If salvation is up to us, if being right with God is up to us, if it's our human qualifications, even the best human person, Paul, wouldn't be saved. Then what hope is there for us? Right, if it's 100% up to what we do, no one can be saved. Now, most people, including many Pharisees, did not think that salvation was 100% up to human effort. Now let's talk about everyone's favorite church topic, circumcision. Yes, our favorite church topic. It's a little weird. Paul brings it up a lot in his letters, especially. You might be wondering, well, why does Paul talk about circumcision all the time? Well, it's because there were these people called Judaizers. And Judaizers did not believe that you were saved 100% by human effort or who you were. They believed that you were saved by Christ. Right? They believed that Jesus was necessary to salvation. But they also believed that you had to be circumcised to be saved. Right? You had to, and that was a function of the Mosaic covenant, actually the Abrahamic covenant. Right? You had to get this thing done to you if you wanted to be saved. So they were not saying salvation is 100% up to me. They're saying it's like maybe 99% Jesus and only 1% you. Only 1% human work, 1% human effort. Maybe even only 0.1%. So look at the very strong language that Paul is going to use for these people who are saying you're saved if you believe in Jesus plus just this little human thing. Right? You don't have to obey the whole law, just this one thing. What does he say for these people? Verse 2. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Again, as we've said, their formula for salvation is Jesus plus circumcision. Jesus plus human effort, and then you are saved. Jesus plus just some human obedience, some human effort equals salvation. Paul says, look at verse 2. He calls these people evil doers. He is saying that that doctrine is evil. And again, this is coming from the one guy who was circumcised on the eighth day and was a really good person. So again, what is Paul saying about salvation? If you want to be saved, you have to throw out all of your human qualifications, all of your human effort, all of your love for God, all of your kindness, all of your zeal for God. You have to throw all those things away as a basis for being saved, as a basis for being right with God, or you will not be saved. Look at what he says in verses 8 and 9. Look at what he loses. This is what he says he must lose. Indeed, I count everything as loss, all my human effort, everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Right? So how is Paul saying that he is saved? Definitively, not from the law. Right? I do not have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, and law there just means obedience to the law, any human effort. Salvation must be 100% the work of God. It's not even 0.1% me. It's either you have this righteousness from God or you don't have it. Right? No amount of human effort can save me, says Paul. Only Jesus can. Now, it has to be said that this is a very hard biblical teaching. And I think a lot of us, you look at some of the most popular shows on HGTV, right? There are these home improvement shows. And we really like seeing people through very diligent human effort taking this house that is not very good, and through human effort and a lot of advertising money from major television stations, making these homes very nice, right? But no, Paul is saying, no, you need a new house. Tear the old down. Not even one board, not even one nail of your human effort can build a house of salvation. And so one of the things that we need to take away is that righteousness, being right with God, is not graded on a scale. And that's something that Paul knew. Right? Some of us might think, well, if I get a C in righteousness, then I'll be okay. If I get a C in righteousness and I believe in Jesus, then I'll be okay. But righteousness, perfection, is one of those like pass-fail sorts of things. Right? You only pass if you are perfect. Nothing less counts. Right? If you're not perfect, then you're not right with God. It's kind of like, what did God require of Abraham and Sarah, right? He says, I want you to give birth to a baby. Abraham's about 100, his wife's about 90. I've been told that the plumbing doesn't quite work at those ages. And God says, I want you to have a baby. How do you pass the test? You got to have a baby, right? There's no real in-between between having a baby and not having, you know, you're not kind of pregnant. It's also like you're not kind of dead, right? The heartbeat monitor either beeps for life or it flatlines for death. It's either or. You think about Old Testament sheep, right? God says they must be without blemish, not even one little spot. They must be without blemish. There's no in-between. Either you're a spotless sheep, or you're blemished. Again, justification is really a pass-fail thing. And the problem for us is that we're dead in our sin. And we're blemished sheep. And no amount of lye, no amount of soap can wash away those stains. Right? Blemished sheep cannot become unblemished and spotless. No amount of human effort can make a sinner right with God. Think about the asymptote, right? It can strive forever to reach the line, but it's never going to get there. If we had infinity, we could still never reach the line of righteousness that God requires. Now, at this point, you might be saying, well, this is simply the most depressing sermon I've ever heard. And that's actually kind of the point. I mean, the good news is if this sermon has not felt the best, is that God binds up the brokenhearted and heals their wounds, right? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Christ did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Luke 5. So again, in order to get right with God, we need to know that there is a way that is shut off to us. There's a big X over the door. There are two doors. One is human effort and one is Christ. And Paul is saying, don't go through the door with a giant X on it. You will not be right with God if you go through that door. So that's the bad news. We are dead in our sin. We are spotted sheep. That's point one, right? No human effort can save us. But point two is that we can be saved by Christ. We can be saved by Christ freely, not because of our perfection, but because of His. Justification is pass-fail. It's pass-fail. God requires perfection to be right with Him. God requires perfection, and as we'll see, God provides perfection. Not through us, not through our human effort, but through Christ. How? Well, negatively, Christ never sinned. Right? He was a spotless sheep. But positively, He was righteous. He fulfilled all righteousness, perfect love for God, perfect delight in Him, perfect love for His neighbors, perfect speech, perfect courage. So look at what Paul talks about. There's a contrast. We've touched on it, but I really want us to hit this contrast. Look at verses 8 and 9. Again, this is the contrast. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. And we've talked about all that the believer must lose in order to be justified with God, right? We cannot stand on any of our own merit. Not a nail from our former house can be used for Christ's house, right? So we must lose everything, but we haven't talked about the amazing gain. Notice what Paul says he gains when he loses trying to get right with God based on his own efforts. Paul says that he does not, verse 9, he does not have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Right? Paul is saying that you can have that. There is not a righteousness that comes from obeying. But he does say that there is a righteousness from God. Right, look at that. Not the righteousness which comes from the law. Verse 9, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that is from God. Or look at verse 7, right? Again, talking about the loss and the gain. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So there is a righteousness to be had. There is a way to be right with God, and it comes from God. Right? This is the righteousness of God in verse 9. Or in verse 7, he simply gains Christ. If you want to be perfect with God, it comes through Christ. It comes through believing in Christ. We are blemished sheep, but Christ himself is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now again, what I hope you're getting here is that God does not change the requirement. Right? The requirement for all people is still perfection. We cannot meet that requirement. But what we see with Christ is that God himself provides the means by which that requirement is fulfilled. It's not in us, it's in him. So his righteousness can become our righteousness. Now you might be asking, how? Right? How do we get the righteousness of Christ? How does that become ours? Paul tells us that it is by faith alone, with no admixture of works, not even a little bit, not even a teensy bit. Not point one, 100% him. Depends on faith alone. Look at verse 9. How does Christ become ours? How does his redemption become ours? Look at verse 9. That we might be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. So how does the righteousness of Christ become ours? It's through faith. through faith alone. Paul says that this righteousness from God depends on faith. Now, does that make salvation a work? Right? Is faith something that we add to Christ? And the answer is no. If salvation, if we can continue with this house theme, right? If salvation is like a big mansion, there's a fountain out front and a roundabout, and if we want to be saved, we have to enter that house. Faith is kind of like the key. Now, you can't live in a key. You can't enjoy a key. A key is worthless in itself, but it's very useful if it opens something amazing. Right? The key is necessary for us to enjoy the house. If we want to go watch a movie at the movie theater, hop in the jacuzzi of this mansion, right? You need a key to get in through the front door. Right? Faith is that key. Faith is that key by which we receive Christ and we live in Him and therefore partake of all His benefits. And especially, as we're seeing this morning, the benefit of justification, the benefit of having all of our sins forgiven and all of Christ's righteousness imputed to us. So again, we've said that justification, righteousness, right? Being right with God, it's a pass-fail thing. So again, we've said, if we look at our resume, right, even Paul's resume, God still looked at it and He put in giant red letters at the very top, next to Paul's name, Paul the Apostle, fail. Like all his love, all his Jewishness, it didn't matter. All of his zeal didn't matter. Still failed, still was not righteous. Same is true for us. And if God looks at our love, our obedience to the Ten Commandments, God still, because it's not perfect, it's past fail, so He has to write in big red letters at the top, big stamp, fail. But then we look at Christ, right? We look at the resume of Christ. Name at the very top, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Look at His resume, and His resume is better than Paul's because it's perfect. Right? He did perfectly obey. He did perfectly love His parents, the fifth commandment. All the commandments Christ obeyed. He perfectly loved God all the time with all of His heart. And He perfectly loved His neighbor as Himself. So Christ's resume gets the blue letter pass at the top, or maybe green. We'll do red and green, Christmas. At the very top of Jesus' resume, pass. So what is justification? Justification is when Jesus takes our resumes, crosses out our names, and puts His on it. So that if you look at His resume now, there's a giant fail at the top. And again, that's why Christ had to die on the cross, is because He was counted as a sinner. God looked at His resume that originally had our name on it, and Jesus put His name on it. So Jesus takes away our sin by dying on the cross, but then people forget this half. Jesus writes our names on His resume. So God looks at the top of our resumes now in Christ, and He sees passing grade. He sees perfect love for God, perfect righteousness. And again, that comes through Christ. That's what justification is. All of our sins are accounted Christ on the cross, and all of our righteousness, all of His righteousness rather, becomes ours through faith. So again, what is justification? What is this gospel benefit that Paul keeps talking about? How do you get right with God? It's through Christ. Through Christ alone and through believing and trusting in Him alone. No human effort. Right? Salvation, righteousness is something received. Again, there's something in us, and I think it's a good desire. We're always trying to improve ourselves. Always trying to improve ourselves. I looked on Amazon's most read this week. Two of the top five. Self-improvement. We like self-improvement. It feels good to do stuff, to be active. But God says, I've got something better for you. I will give you My beloved Son. I will give you Him. I will give you His righteousness. And all you have to do is open your hands and receive Christ, cherish Him, and you will be right with Me. So again, if you're a Christian, please cherish that good news. All of your sins are forgiven in Christ. You have a perfect righteousness in Him. Perfect. and it can never change. And because of Christ, you have received a right to eternal life. All of this has been received simply by trusting in Him. And again, think about if righteousness were dependent on us even a little bit. Could we ever have peace? I mean, we read in John 16 that Jesus said, "In me you will have peace." Why? Because if it were up to us, we would always be questioning whether the little 1% that was our job, whether we did it right enough. Whether even that 0.1%, if it were up to us, we'd always be questioning whether that 0.1% were good enough for God. But in Christ, we don't have to question. Because His righteousness is perfect, and as He said on the cross, it is finished. He has done it perfectly. So again, if we receive Christ, all of His benefits will be ours, and we will be made right with God. This morning, we've looked at the ultimate question. How can we get right with God? We've seen very definitively, nothing of our own do we bring to salvation, right? How do we get reconciled with the God who made us? No human effort. Not even the tiniest bit of what we do contributes to our salvation. Actually, okay. We all do contribute one thing to our salvation. Our sin. It is the sin which put Christ on the cross. That is our part of salvation. That's our part. Sin. But God's part is sending His beloved Son to accomplish everything for us, to fulfill all righteousness, perfectly obeying the law. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. How do we receive reconciliation? Only through Christ. So cherish that reconciliation. Cherish Christ. Believe the good news. You are justified with God if you believe in Christ. Let's pray.